Welcome to the Presentation Podcast, episode 116.
I'm Troy Collar from TLC Creative Services, based in Southern California, and this morning it is 49 degrees and I'm cold.
Oh, you poor thing. It's 49 degrees and I'm warm. Actually, yes, it's been warm. It's been 50s here. I'm Sandy Johnson. Welcome to the Presentation Podcast from, coolish Minneapolis, Minnesota.
And I'm Nolan Hames from Nolan Hames Creative in Montclair, New Jersey, where I got you beat, Troy. It's 48 degrees. So I got you beat by a point, but that is beautiful. It's a gorgeous day out.
But it's still morning. I'm pre 8 a.m. time. You're coming up on noon or whatever it is.
Sun coming up.
All right. Okay, what is happening? We got let's spend a few minutes. This is it. Last episode of the year. I mean, for me, 2020 is ending busier than like typical normal, which is, considering the year, a good thing. Last week, we had 2 to 3 virtual events we were either running the presentations for or running the platform for, or both, every day of the week. And over the past 2 weeks, I have consistently been up at 3 or 4 in the morning for East Coast company events because I'm the one that got volunteered for those projects. I would say it's a weird year in December where it's traditionally fewer events and more design. That's usually the time I get to catch my breath and family time and all that. But this year, it's weird. You know, we have more shows
from COVID, and they're catching up.
I think a lot of people are doing their end of year budgets, and they're like, "We got to get this meeting squeezed in." I mean, we have done, and January is the same way. We have got meetings. We're kind of stacking ourselves up. Like, okay, you can do the morning meeting, and then you have a little break, and then you got to do this company's afternoon meeting because they're a West Coast versus East Coast. It's zany right now in a good way. So what's happening? So we're busy is what I'm saying. I mean, the holiday festivities are good. I've got the Christmas lights on the house. I really feel I was a couple of weeks behind, but they're up and they're running. And yeah, we have a whole animated light thing going and it's fun. Anyways.
I think you should send post a recording notes.
I think we need a video of your
Please.
We're definitely winding down 2021 projects or 2020. Oh God, I just can't wait to get to
ahead.
I just can't wait to get to next year. Projects are still coming in, but they're slowing a little bit. We're wrapping up things at the end of the year. Just finished the annual New Year's card for Nolan Hames Creative, which the theme always year after year has been to, as simply and visually as possible, sum up the previous year. Yeah, so it was a challenge this year, but you'll be getting them soon, and you can let me know if I have accurately summed up the last year. I think I did good. This week I had a 3 remote client trainings. I hosted the last installment of the year of Inspired by Design with Julie Cherberg for the Presentation Guild. And I'm working on the new website, which hopefully will launch around January 1st. And a lot of personal projects and house cleaning and just closing everything down.
You know, I was just telling Julie the other day that the Inspired by Design series is an amazing body of work. You two should be really proud of that library that people will be able to refer to for years. It's just so gorgeous.
Yeah. Well, I love, because Julie shows a lot of her own examples, and maybe I shouldn't tell anybody this, but like I occasionally screenshot them. Like, I got to put that in my inspiration notes. Like, that's beautiful.
Exactly.
So it's really nice to see a lot of work that you don't get to see always, you know, other designers and colleagues' work.
You know, and not everyone can recreate it, but you're talking about the principles of design a lot. Often, you know, what was the recent one? Contrast. Anyway, that's one of them. And I just think beginner or expert, whatever, should be referring to these because they're amazing.
Yeah, they are. She does really well.
Well, you both do. Anyway, December has been crazy for me. It's this conference, which has been toned down, scaled back completely from previous years, but our process for preparing the executives remains very much intact. That means we're working on creating their presentations for each of the leaders. We're helping prepare them to deliver their presentations, and that's all done via a series of 4 online meetings for each presenter. So that's keeping me really busy through December, the beginning of January, in addition to my regular work. One thing, and this is just a bit of news, I think we all have to face when we're in business on our own, and it's the ugly side of business. It's bill collection.
got your heavy working for you, sending out the bill collection?
My heavy Chloe Meisner, like the most Minnesota nice person in the world, right? She, she's been out there and seriously.
Breaking legs.
Anyway, she brought in invoices that have been past due for over 12 months. And I'm just, it's like a bonus for us. See, it's just awesome. So anyway, kudos to Chloe for being out there and she says things in a way that I could never get out of my mouth when I'm that angry.
Well, it's good that you have her.
Yes, it is. But let's move on. What else is in the news, Troy?
Okay, news. News. You know, I've got one thing. NX PowerLite. It's like our go-to for presentation optimization. I know there's a few options out there, but this is the one that we've stuck with for file size optimization. They've rolled out new version 9. It's available. It has some enhancements, this and that. And one of the newer features is what they call the chart flattener. So I actually think it's a tool that was in there, but now it's been surfaced kind of as a standalone feature because it was an all or nothing before. And now you can do it a little bit smoother and easier, but it's definitely worth the upgrade. Or if you don't have it, you guys use NX PowerLite?
I use it all the time.
Forever.
Yeah. And so the chart flattener is interesting because some people might get stung by it. If you have an embedded chart, which, you know, if you have a 20 meg Excel file, your PowerPoint now is 20 megs larger. So what it does is it takes the Excel file out, but it doesn't rasterize the chart. You can still format it like normal, but you'll no longer, when you right click, the option for editing is gone. So it is weird that you would right click and it doesn't say it's linked or it's embedded or there's just edit is not possible. So
you mean editing the data? You can edit.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right.
Yep.
You can format. You can continue to format like normal, but it's neither linked nor embedded. So which is like a new world of a chart.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's all. I did not realize that's what it did. I thought it was just doing the same thing and making it basically into a ping image, but at a chart by chart level. Oh, that's now I gotta go play with it.
But it might confuse people because like you can't relink it. Like where did it go? But it could also be amazing because again, you can format it and it stays vector and all that. But yeah, all the Excel data is gone.
Interesting and awesome all at the same time. Who's got something else? What else is in the news for presentation world?
Well, just in time for me to switch from Android to iPhone, PowerPoint Create Outline on the go has been added to Android. Now, I have not played with it, but if you want to check it out, we'll put a link in the notes. Have either of you had a chance to do that, create an outline?
No.
You're on iPhones, both of you.
Yeah, I'm on iPhone, so I don't know too much about it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So just one, that's new, I guess.
That's a little one. Yeah. Mm-hmm. The long wait is over. Edward Tufte's new book is finally out. I got my copy last week. It's Seeing with Fresh Eyes, which is a good title because I feel my eyes have been going cross-eyed every time I sit down to try to read it. I'm not going to do a full review because I haven't finished it. I'm only 50 pages in, but I think the perfect word for it is inscrutable. I'm still being optimistic, but it's quite different from his previous books. So far, it seems to just be page after page of centered and oddly laid out text, almost no negative space on the page, endless like sayings and aphorisms from other people, studies in poetry, kind of random sequenced images of his sculptures. Anyway, it's a real page turner if you want to turn the page to escape the mess of the page that you are on. So you can purchase it from his website. Look, I will do a review later once I get through it all. But a lot of people were eagerly awaiting that. And it's on my desk. I will finish
it.
Okay.
Well, I can't wait for your review before I read it.
Yeah. Before you dive in. So far, no mention of PowerPoint yet.
Okay. That's a good thing.
Also, very little mention of information design. But anyway, let's go on.
Okay. Wow. I don't know how to follow that. Okay. Here we go. Okay, it's our annual year-end review. That's in quotes, year-end review episode. And 2020, It's been quite the year, wouldn't you guys say?
Yeah.
Traditionally, the three of us have, and we've done this for several years, the three of us, we put a lot of effort to assure we each have enough notes for a full conversation. This year, with the dramatic shifts in the world, the focus for presentation design and presenting has changed, I think, more in 1 year than any other time. Needless to say, we have lots to talk about, and we'll try to keep the year in review contained to an hour here. So let's get started.
Well, my first question is, you know, I don't want to repeat how bad it's been, but I mean, in general, but did you survive?
Sandy, did you survive? I want to know about you. Did you survive as a presentation designer?
I did. You know, the beginning of the year was so normal for me that I thought I'm going to get through this completely unscathed. And then August, September slowed down to a point where I haven't experienced that for maybe 10 years, where it was a slower part of my business. A little disconcerting, but it's, as I said earlier, it's popped back up and I'm as busy as ever. So I'd have to say I survived. How about you, Nolan?
Nope. Didn't survive. Nolan is gone. You're talking to an AI powered version of me. Well, no, the project work never really dipped too much, although my in-person trainings obviously went away and a few client contacts left their jobs, but I still retained those clients, which was good, and added some new ones through this webinar I created, Presenting in a Remote World. So that was exciting to sort of just present and create something new, which I have been giving tons. It's obviously been an incredibly difficult year personally, raising a pair of three-year-olds and in a pandemic, keeping them out of preschool. We were really looking forward to that. Trying to stay sane, but my amazing wife has been home preschooling them and just being an all-around amazing mother, which has made things easier. Yesterday, she made homemade donuts with the girls for Hanukkah, which was amazing because my mother never did that.
They looked great. I'm not a jelly donut kind of person, but they looked really good.
Yeah, I'm not either. But still, these were pretty good. She put just a little bit in mine. So the consistency of the work's been a nice counterbalance to the insanity of the world. It's always nice to have that to go to your desk and know that, all right, well, at least that is relatively stable. But exactly. Troy, you probably had the most professional sort of disruption.
I personally survived. TLC Creative Services as an entity survived. We kept our entire team on payroll,
that's fantastic.
But things have changed a huge part in the design studio, because obviously we went from supporting on-site events and in a matter of 3 weeks back at the beginning of the year, literally every single project canceled, a pretty significant six-digit budget cut right there. We've pivoted, and I think it's to a good place. It will definitely be a milestone in the company history.
Well, we're going to go back to a couple of questions that we asked at last year's year-end episode, starting with your favorite client of the year and why. Names are optional. Sandy, who was your favorite this year?
You know, anyone who respects the discipline is my favorite client. That looks at me as an expert and not a slide jockey. And there is a place for slide jockeys. I love people who can turn around and clean up stuff. But basically, the answer really, really varies. But yesterday, working with a client that is leading this January conference that I'm working on, and I've worked with her for years, she said something to the effect, you know, at this company, we use PowerPoint for everything, and that means putting everything we know on every slide we show. This conference is different. We will be audience focused, and that means our presentations will be created with them in mind, and what we say and show must work for the audience. So these presentations will look a lot different than what you're used to seeing. What a dream. I mean, she laid down the law with these executives, you know, the high level executives of this huge corporation, and many of these presenters I've worked with in the past, so they kind of get it anyway. But in explaining to some of the newer presenters, she was the boss. I loved it.
Nice. That is awesome. We need a poster for that. You know, yeah, just indeed. The inspiration. Okay, so I'm going to go, and I think it sounded like that's a fairly recent project happening right now. I'm going to go with a recent one too. So recent that it was just last week. We've been working with them for about 3 months or so, but the event happened last week. And maybe It's just because they're top of mind. But I've supported this client's annual meeting for several years. They do fun, very highly visual stuff. We just did the award show for them, and they had so many engagement and interaction options for a virtual event. So first of all, super huge kudos to the production company that brought us in for kind of enabling these things to happen. And then for the internal creative team, the client, by the way, is Mark's Hard Lemonade. They do some pretty fun stuff.
Fun. I need to get on your calendar to talking about award shows. So I'll be in touch.
We have done so many virtual award shows, and some of them are a little bland, a little dry. And some of them, like this one, people were literally not willing to leave because there was, I mean, we did an online silent auction. There was an online raffle during part of it. There was obviously, well, not obviously, but there were cameo. I mean, it was great. It really, really. And then we do other ones where they just are nice. We did our job, but they don't really engage the audience. They don't feel like they went to something. So yeah, I'd love to talk to you about it. We've been doing lots of them. Nolan, what's your favorite client?
A recent one, my MIT astrophysics exoplanet expert, professor. Professor Sarah Seeger. I'll give her a little shout out. I recently wrapped up a project for her, designing her public and scientific presentations and giving them a facelift. And it's just amazing material to work with and just a super smart client. And I say she's smart, not because she's a MacArthur Genius Grantee, but because she liked what I did for her. So that's, general. And it might be the first time that my design was actually informed partially by a client's autobiography. Literally, while I was working on the project, I decided to order and read her autobiography, which at times felt a little invasive, but actually steered certain design decisions. So it was just a really nice, great project and great material. So I really like that.
That's really cool. Wow.
Nolan Hames Creative does their research. That's awesome.
Not always, but yeah, in this case.
Okay, so following the same idea here, last December, so a year ago, we asked ourselves what our favorite slideshow presentation design project of the year was. Mm-hmm. What do you got?
I'd say the ones that I did for my own webinars, which I really stepped outside of sort of my own design comfort zone with lots of color and illustration, awesome. Which I usually don't do. And I've just been constantly tweaking them throughout the year. And I like the look. I also want to give a shout out to another designer's work, Nadia Bormatova, I think is how you pronounce it. She's an illustrator that I found on iStock, and I started using her work. And you know, it's always nice to stick with the same illustrator because everything's the same, the color palettes and, you know, the style's the same. And she's just been fantastic. So she's very responsible for the looks.
You hire her to custom illustrate?
No. I just use her work for my stock. She can be hired. She's freelance, sure. But yeah, she has so much up on iStock that there's always something that I could, you know, use.
That is an awesome resource. A great methodology for design to keep consistency. Awesome.
And just a reminder, when you're on stock sites, you can always click like the author or the artist, or the photographer, whoever, to see more of their work. And sometimes it's nice to like pick somebody that has like thousands of things up on, you know, a stock site, because you'll have a lot more to work with. How about you, Sandy?
Well, it has to be my interactive capability sales presentation that I did for a company that's headquartered here in Minneapolis. They're named Filtrix. Mm-hmm. And by interactive, I mean a presentation that's not the traditional linear, forced to show one slide after the other, but one that's dynamic and operates more like a website where you have access to the information at the click of a button, depending on what the audience needs at that very moment. What was really cool was the leadership's commitment from the top down to making sure that the presentation was launched properly, including training for the entire sales force. And I had design control. And so, you know, that the word favorite, it ended up looking really great, but favorite because I got to be in charge, and I am for most of mine, but this one, given the entire scope of it being a corporate presentation, a sales presentation, it just worked out really well that I was controlling everything from the design to how it was launched to the training of the sales force. It was really fun.
Cool.
How about you, Troy?
You know, I'm racking. Okay. So we had a few explainer video projects this year. This is going to evolve into PowerPoint presentation in a second. And they were fairly long or multi-part deliverables. So they weren't like a little 25-second, hey, how you doing? Come join us or whatever it is. These were fairly intensive projects. The actual design for the deliverable was not PowerPoint. It was Adobe Animator. But we created all these custom characters and set pieces in Illustrator. So everything was true vector. We set them up for the motion graphics, but we exported all those graphics as SVG graphics. So a big call out here to Microsoft Office supporting a new vector format, SVG. And we storyboarded each video in PowerPoint. And we added a white bar along the bottom so we could add the narration track in there, the text for it. It was a fantastic workflow for sending proofs to the client to review and for us them to give us feedback and finally approvals, even to the point of where we sent them the PowerPoints. We're giving them all the assets and said, because they kept saying, we want to change the script here and there. We just let them have at it. We're like, any words you put in there, that's what we're going to have our narrator read. So they went through and they changed it all. It worked super efficiently, even to the point of then after it was all approved, hand off to the animation editors because the slides used are the exact same art, vector art that we gave them. So we gave them, we created Illustrator files with just, you know, if it was 50 frames, there was 50 artboards in Illustrator. So each one had a starting point. So it was kind of a paint by number scenario for them to set up the assets in Animator. Anyways, PowerPoint is the key to making this great workflow because it was so easy to work with and so easy to edit because all the things were layered. So a lot of times we'll say, you know, the client will say, hey, I really want to see this element as blue. Well, then we have to go back into Illustrator and we export it as a flat art. Well, we just did the edits right there in PowerPoint. Then we handed it back to our illustrator, whoever was doing that, and said, could you make these updates? So my favorite project was actually this new workflow of using PowerPoint to get the workflow to work so much faster. It was a great, great thing.
Hey, question.
Kind of long explanation, but
no,
there you go.
I get it. But my question is, did you, when you say you sent them the PowerPoint, did you literally send it via email or were you using collaboration tools?
So we normally just export it as a PDF. Most of our clients don't even know we're using PowerPoint, but for this one, they had so many changes and they were trying to get size perspective. They were like, hey, this character or this product is not, you know, we need to make it look a little bigger than this product. And I'm like, but you've sent us the products. So we literally sent them the layered file and we did hand it off. They owned it for the day or so. Okay. And they made all their little adjustments, including all the scripting. And then they gave it back to us. So this wasn't a collaboration one. We actually couldn't because we were using some custom fonts and whatnot. And that would, you know, even in the collaboration world, that still creates the biggest problem piece right there. But we didn't do it once. We did it. I can think of three projects where we did this and it became like our major workflow. It, you know, we came in with here, you're going to do the illustration work. You're going to do the presentation work. You're going to do the animation work. It was literally a three-part process and it works so efficiently. So really, really kind of part of it was like, wow, this is great. The other part of me was like, wow, why have we not done this before? Part of it was because we couldn't support SVG until, you know, within recent years. Mm-hmm. So you know, it sometimes takes a little while to get the gears changing and realize you can change things around and do it better. But those became my favorite projects of the year for you know, actually we said slideshow and I kind of went with presentation.
That's okay.
I'm sticking with my answer.
Yeah. I was going to ask that question next. I was going to say, what is your favorite non-slideshow project of the year? Nolan, you start on that one.
I'll go with we did a series of animated explainer videos for a government client that I partnered with and brought in our friends in Australia, Synapsis Creative, to do. And they're, you know, just such a fantastic presentation design shop. But they also do these incredible animated videos, which are all authored in PowerPoint. And they do stuff I just couldn't dream of doing. I see the PowerPoint files. I'm like, I still don't know what's happening here. So we brought them in and I was able to just take advantage of their skill and expertise on those. I think we did four of them throughout the year. So it was really nice.
Very cool. Well, I designed a book in PowerPoint and I think it looked awesome. The process was I converted that design then to InDesign and I was very proud of my work because I hadn't used InDesign before. Did a lot of online consulting with how to use the tool. But that was my favorite part. It looked really, really good. But when I got a copy of the book, I was so disappointed with the changes that had been made after I handed it off. It just didn't even look like my design. So I'm not even giving it out. I'm not including it in my portfolio.
So who changed it? A designer, another designer changed it in InDesign?
You know, I didn't ask the question. It was a self-published book. And when I handed it off, to my client and the publisher. It was between those two. I think they may have taken it and they made edits after I handed it off. And it wasn't because of, they made edits because COVID happened and the direction of his book changed during that process. And I think they just thought that they could do it themselves. It was awful. I was really disappointed after all that work. But it was still one of my favorite. I'd never done that before. And I was proud of how it looked when I turned it over.
Nice. I do know that Nancy Duarte writes all her books in PowerPoint.
And so does, you just spoke of Synapsis Creative. Their books are in PowerPoint as well. Yep.
They do a lot of print work in PowerPoint.
Pretty cool.
Troy.
Well, I should have used my last example for this one. Okay, different non-slideshow project for virtual events where we are running the broadcast studio. So we're actually capturing and being the technical end. We do short little stinger video clips, 5 to maybe 15 seconds long. We could talk about those maybe later, but they're an important thing for us in the fact that they kind of set things up, and we also use them for presenters because we're not live with them. So we literally say, when you see this clip, when it ends, you're live to the audience. Like, this is it. Do your last little drink of water, cough, straighten your shirt because you've got this 6 seconds. So anyways, some meetings, we create 10 of these, little shorter meetings. You know, there's only a few transition pieces. Some of our bigger conferences, we just finished one with over 100 of these. And it takes time to develop and export these and do it all. So my favorite new online tool is this video creation service we're now using to create these little intro and segue video clips. I have really enjoyed working with these, having a simpler workflow. And it's kind of fun using it's a modifiable template, but just kind of seeing different creativity that's from outside our studio has been great. So as far as a non-slideshow, we're creating all these little animated motion graphics, and it's been fun.
What's the name of the tool? Did you say?
We're using Videos. It's got two D's and a Y in it. I'd have to go look it up really quick. We subscribe to their whatever. It's not. Yeah, I'm going to have to be careful about recommending it because it's not economical. It is to a degree, but if you want to use all their features, they definitely have a higher price point. And there's several other ones out there. One of our other designers uses one. I wish I could think of the name of it. Maybe I'll try and find it, put it in the show notes. But he uses one. He's like, hey, do you mind if I use this one for this meeting? I was like, sure. And it was dynamic and great. So there's a lot of them out there. I mean, normally we hand build, or I should say custom craft, all of them in After Effects for our meetings. You know, we've always done these big elaborate stingers and stuff, but these are all 16 by 9 and we got to do literally, in this case, we did 183 of them on this last big conference. It was just easier to hand it off and not have one of our, any of our designers can work on it is the key. So I'm not tying up one of our After Effects editors with this project. I'm letting them work on other things. Okay. Well, next question.
We'll put the link to that in the notes. So, okay, so this should be interesting because our canvas sort of changed this year to all small screen versus large screen versus shows and handouts. Did our color usage change at all? What was your favorite color to design with this year?
Well, here's the deal. It's very difficult. I'm never able to answer it. What's your favorite color? But this isn't about my favorite color. I see the question, screen versus large screen, shows and handouts. Bottom line is it's very situational. And of course, because we're required to work with clients' corporate colors, I guess overall, I feel like I'm limited as a designer. But that said, I love when I get a chance to use, even on the screen, in rare occasions, the charcoal black or a midnight, very dark blue for backgrounds.
Okay.
It doesn't have to be solid. Recently, I found a dark blue graphic of umbrellas, for example, and I love how the crisp white text pops off the blue. I think it just looks elegant. It is difficult, I think, to use it slide after slide after slide in an online environment, but it's a beautiful, stunning look.
Yes, pure black is not always the best choice. Just add a little, throw a little color into it.
Exactly.
Troy, what about you?
Okay, so this is going to be funny because I live in the world of dark charcoal.
Yes.
I live in the world of layered and layered and layered textures that all create a dark texture. I'm literally going to say this out loud here. My favorite color this year has been white.
Think of your audience's eyes.
Think of it. We never use white backgrounds because white a white screen 30 feet wide using 30,000 lumens of projection is blinding to the front row. And if that screen is behind the presenter, they're just a silhouette, or they're blinded because the lighting has to be so harsh on them to get them to illuminate. It's just not a practical good solution. Now, every corporate template for their internal stuff loves white because it's the easiest thing to work with. And it obviously prints well and all that. But, you know, on large shows, I'm not worried about print. We've moved to this small screen format, and we've been able to do some great design using white space and white color as the background, something we literally would shun pre-COVID. We were like, no, we will do that. It's just a bad idea. Now we're like, hey, this is never going to see a large screen. We can do it. So I'm going to go with white as my favorite color of the year.
Nice. I'm going to go with yellow. I started using this bright four color palette in my webinars, partially through those illustrations that I was talking about. And, mm-hmm. And there's just this bold yellow that I found myself really happy with. So not as much orange this year. Going for the yellow.
Oh, I should so make a comment about color palettes, and yellow and orange are on the same. Anyways, we'll skip over that and we'll go with this. That was all a Nolan-based comment, by the way, trying to tie in that why yellow is good, because it's a derivative or a primary of orange. Okay. I think we're all going to probably say a very similar thing here, but what was your most memorable Microsoft announcement this year?
I'm going to go with regard to PowerPoint Live, which was introduced in the spring, I think. And this is still kind of under the radar, and it hasn't fully, migrated to desktops yet, the desktop versions. But I think this is going to be a huge thing in the future. That just to remind people, right now it's only available. I believe it's only available online. Did they bring it to the PC yet?
Not yet.
No. So this is going to allow you to have a custom URL at the beginning of your presentation that users can go to and view the presentation on their own. Each user will be able to turn on or off subtitles, including translation, and ask questions and go back to slides and various things. So it's just going to create the individual user experience, which we currently, don't currently have. And I just think it's huge. And just as an example, I usually turn my subtitles on all the time, when I'm presenting, but some people don't like them. Some people don't need them. And this will allow people to have their own individual presentation experience. So I think it's an amazing feature that, we're going to see benefits from in the future coming, as they refine it and work on it. How about you, Sandy?
Well, it's a little different tone, but this announcement did come from Microsoft. Right when COVID hit, Microsoft made the announcement that the MVP conference, which is something we all look for, the MVP conference that's usually held in Redmond, Washington. We get to see each other every year. They made it go online. And it went really well. It was a huge test for teams. But then they announced that the 2021 conference would also be online. So that was a memorable announcement from Microsoft for me. Yep.
That was my first sort of real online conference in that way.
Yeah. And they did okay. There were more this year. I think they tested it. Worked out a lot of kinks on us with 3,000.
I think so. Yeah, we were definitely a viable or a helpful scenario. Again, that's the whole idea of the MVP, help the community and help Microsoft. I'm going with the same thing. I thought all three of us would actually announce the MVP conference. But for me, it was Microsoft announcing just 3 weeks out, they were going to move their 2,500 person conference to a virtual platform. And they did it pretty well. It went off good. It was in Microsoft Teams. Microsoft Teams, I think they got a year's worth of feedback in that 1 week. And a lot of those improvements have now rolled out. I don't know if you guys noticed it, but was it just last week? Teams has a whole new sign-in experience for meetings. When you log in, it's a little more Zoom-esque, but it shows you your camera feed. Yes. It lets you make all your selections ahead of time.
I like it.
So there's less going into that third panel and, deciding what to do. So anyways, Microsoft Teams is evolving. But for me, the most memorable Microsoft announcement was this one. And it's probably not memorable from a technology standpoint as much as it was memorable of that was a huge disappointment, because this is the time we get to all hang out together, see each other. And that's a huge part. I give up all project work during that week because I value you know, hanging out with you guys. So, yeah, it was very memorable for different things. And then, of course, I'm just as equally disappointed that 2021 is going to be online. I would love to get together. I don't know if it's practical at this point. I thought for sure back when they announced it, it would be practical, but we're building up. Anyways, I'm going with that one. But Nolan, mm-hmm. yours about PowerPoint Live, great announcement. And it's something we have not started integrating into our online events, but I think it's coming. We're starting to talk to some presenters and production companies about the options for it. So I think it's going to evolve into like a third viewing option for online events or larger conferences.
So speaking of conferences, we usually, for sure, all three of us participate at some level at the presentation summit. I think we ended up branching out a little bit differently this year. So I'm just curious, if you did speak or participate in events, what was your favorite?
My favorite session was one I did for Creative Pro Week's Click Conference, and it was called Learn to Love PowerPoint. But it was a little different in that what I usually do is this was targeted at graphic designers who primarily work on Macs and in the Adobe world. So I got to show them, these people are like, I don't want to use PowerPoint. I'm sticking with InDesign. I got to show them how to use PowerPoint in place of Photoshop and Illustrator and use it like a designer and just, you know, very Mac centric, sort of opening up the minds. And the comments were like, I can't believe, you know, I hated it. Like, I've totally changed my opinion. I didn't know there were Pathfinder tools. I didn't know about this. I didn't know I could do. So that was really nice. Yeah. I can show a lot of my own workflows and stuff. How about you, Sandy? Great.
Well, I haven't spoken at many. I do speak, recent being the Technology Valley users group. But I think, as always, I enjoy participating in the Help Center. And this year we did it all virtually at the presentation summit. It's just so great to see new faces and familiar faces and to be a part of that amazing community. Troy?
Okay, so for me, I actually spoke speaking engagement conferences. I spoke less this year than I have in the past, but there's a but to this. But let me start with the why. Presentation summit, I did one session. I had a lot of fun with that session, but prior to going to the online virtual environment, I was scheduled to do three sessions. And I had to scale it back. Rick Altman, you know, agreed. He's like, you know, you're going to be running everything, you know, because I was very entrenched in actually running it. And then there were a couple other events that either canceled or I had to cancel because there was other things happening by then. It was a year of kind of evolving, and I actually spoke less at my normal conferences, but usually I'm one of the guys, you know, backstage making things happen. And we've shifted to this virtual meeting environment. I've been on the audience facing side so many more times, some of it pre-recorded and some of it live, basically doing the same thing as I always do. I've been providing how-to tips and tricks, you know, how to use a virtual platform, how to present as a remote presenter, how to utilize the equipment, because we've been shipping out these DIY, do-it-yourself presenter kits. So I've kind of been presenting more and more on a technical side, nothing, I guess, a big surprise there, but I've actually been asked to be a presenter at all these events that I never am a presenter at because they needed somebody to be the face of, here's what you need to do, you know, take some notes here. So it's a interesting year. So I spoke, but just in a little different context, I guess.
All right. Do we have any new favorite software or updated software this year?
I do. And it's pretty funny. I'm going to go with WordPress, and it's not really new. I mean, we've been doing web design projects for a very long time and a very long time WordPress users, but this year has become a huge focus. And I was introduced to Avada Live, which is a WordPress interface. Mm-hmm. It has revolutionized how I develop and design in WordPress. So I've literally taken what I thought was kind of mundane and not very creative into a new realm. We're doing tons and tons of creative stuff as well as technology stuff. But WordPress has become my go-to coolest fun app of the year, I think. How's that?
All right. I'm going to go with an oldie as well, Camtasia. Now, I've used it in the past, but I've been using it much, much more in this past year for software tutorials and even birthday videos of my girls. It's just, I find it incredibly easy to use. I'm the kind of person that doesn't like to read manuals or watch tutorials. So I just, it's able, you know, able to get up and running. Every time I have a quick question, I just Google it. Yep, that's how you do it. And it's just really, it's good software.
You know, I've been using it more too. I wouldn't, it's not my favorite, but you're right. It's easy to, because I don't use video editing software or creation software often, it's easy to come in after being away from it for 3 months and pick it up again. Yeah, I agree with you on that one. But, you know, I'm sorry if I'm predictable, but when I think of all the updates that PowerPoint has gone through this year, my favorite software, updated software, is PowerPoint. It's not your grandfather's PowerPoint by any means. You think about, you know, the updates to desktop and online improvements and the mobile improvements. I think it's a new piece of equipment in our toolkit.
I think that's a pretty wise statement. I don't know why I didn't think of going there. So you're on it. I go with that. Okay. Going in that vein, how about your favorite, and this one has to be PowerPoint, favorite new PowerPoint feature or PowerPoint add-in?
Again, this is kind of expected because we don't go with an episode without mentioning BrightSlide. But for what it's worth, I'm hoping to have a new one next year. I'm working with someone on one. And so maybe next year I'll have another favorite.
Ooh. Good. Well, the brighter slide. Brighter slide. Brighter slide. Okay. No, sorry, Jamie.
Well, I love BrightSlide. I use it every day. But I'm going to go with SlideWise from New Power, which was released in kind of a public beta-ish, like not complete, but it's working. And it's just this great little tool that I did help them beta test and work with them on. It allows you to replace fonts in a way that PowerPoint doesn't. You can finally get rid of those double single byte font things, and you can embed them, and you can find out also like what's taking up space and where different fonts are and which slides. It's kind of an analysis tool. And if you work with PowerPoint all the time, you know, you need to figure out like, where's that huge video, or, you know, where, what's page is that font on? Let me get rid of it. And that's what it does for you. So it's a great little tool to have.
Excellent.
How about you, Troy?
I'm going to go, I'm going with Sandy. I'm going to go with BrightSlide add-in in some way every day. And almost every time I open PowerPoint, I'm using it. Exactly. Now, what's interesting about BrightSlide is, one, I called it out last year, as I think all of us, did. I have to go back and look at the notes. But it was released just a year ago. It was released just in September of 2019. Now, of course, many of us used Jamie Gerock's PowerPoint tools before they went to the BrightSlide name. So it kind of had a following already. But 2020 had so many improvements and additions to the BrightSlide tool set. I think it's the most powerful tool set installed on my computer. And I'm definitely naming it my favorite for 2020.
Cool. Excellent. Excellent. So let's talk about people. In your presentation world, are there any notable new relationships or people that you've met, clients, colleagues?
I worked with a couple of new designers this year that I really like and really want to hold on to. A new presentation designer who's amazing, and a print designer also has become sort of my go-to traditional guy for, you know, traditional print stuff. Both are really talented. And then over the summer, I also get to work with somebody who's becoming a good friend, one of my favorite designers on print and presentation, but I lose her each fall when she goes back to her real job as a professor of design at a big university. So I get to work with her for just a few months a year, but she's really great.
That's cool.
What about you, Sandy?
Well, this is a new type of relationship. It's not necessarily a new contact. I worked with an executive for over 5 years, and this gentleman credits me with changing the way he presents. He's retired and started a nonprofit that helps high school students who are not generally college material prepare for post-secondary education via maybe a junior college or taking the technical path. And so I mentioned maybe several episodes ago that I'm working on this curriculum. for high school students. And this is the gentleman that has brought me in to deliver that curriculum on presentations and presenting. So not a new type. It's a new type of relationship, but not a new contact.
Okay.
That's awesome. Yeah, I really am. I really want to hear and see maybe sneak peek your curriculum. I'm very excited to see how that comes about. Okay, so I'm going to kind of go down a similar track. Does reacquainted count? So you did new relationship. I'm doing reacquainted. Yeah. One of our designers from a few years back, he moved out of state for a new job opportunity, and we encouraged and said it's great, and then we mourned his loss, and it was a big deal. We recovered and hired more people, and everything went on well. COVID, it turns out, caught up with that company and they basically furloughed everybody. So we now have our first non-local staff member, and I am big on group collaboration and having everyone based in the same design studio. So Josh Clark is back with TLC Creative full time, and our clients are very fortunate for it. So it's kind of a fun thing that's just happened here this year.
Yeah, it's a good thing. That's played in your favor.
It is. It worked out really, really well. It's a very favorable, and it works well because we already know the workflows, and there's a lot of other logistics and stuff, but very excited about that. And it's definitely a new realm. Lori and Lane on the accounting side may not be as happy because they got to figure out all the logistics for taxes and multi-state and all that good stuff, but it seems to be positive and going forward. And I was given approval to say, let's go with it. Okay. Before we wrap up, and Sandy, I think you have the final year-end topic. Mm-hmm. Okay, great. Let's do one sort of more personal topic. This is not truth or dare time. This is just something. Being the year of working from home, being at home nonstop, having your family home nonstop, did you find it more distracting to get work done this year?
Joel, when you start.
100,000%. With fewer places for my kids to go during the day, there was a lot more playing in the backyard and downstairs and screaming. And fortunately, I didn't have one of those Robert Kelly moments. He of BBC interview fame. Right,
but at least your office is upstairs, yes, away from everybody.
That's definitely true. There is no lock on my door, but still, Yeah, but it was a little more challenging. I did cut my official office hours by an hour each day to help out with the kids more. So it's been good. We've gotten through it again. But how about you?
I am on the complete other end of the spectrum. Jeff and I have been doing this for 20 years. He's always worked out of our home. When I started my business, I went directly to doing it out of my home, but he's always worked out of his home on a national sales team of some sort. So we've always had two offices, although we had to actually build one in this house. But this year is nothing new. And for what it's worth, I actually get more work done when he's home and not traveling on the road, because when he's traveling, he gets bored and he calls me, "What you doing?" That kind of thing. Yeah, I know.
Oh, that's great.
It is. It is awesome. But one of the funnies about him being at home, he's a singer. And he sings random made-up songs, and he'll leave his office, walk up the stairs, and I'm on a conference call with a new client. There have been several times where Jeff comes walking up the stairs singing a song. It's just hilarious. So it kind
really
of
funny. I didn't know that about Jeff.
I did not either.
Friendly guy, and then our dog, of course. Is compelled to protect us for the numerous home delivery services that suffer out.
Same with banks.
Very protective. Yeah.
And I learned, somebody pointed this out to me, the whole dog barking at a mailman, they're being trained. Somebody cut, a delivery person comes to the house, they start barking, and then the person leaves. So they're getting trained to, they're like, "Oh, I did something. This works."
I saved you.
Exactly. So each time it just keeps getting reinforced more and more and more. And he's gotten even more crazy. He'll just leap across the living room onto the chair in front of the window.
I've never thought of that. I'm going to have to bring that up. Okay. Well, to answer the question, me being home and not traveling is the bigger deal than me being home versus at the design studio. But I will say I've put in more hours being at home, as in just, it's 3 a.m. time to get up for that meeting. And I'll just keep working right through till 6 o'clock in the afternoon. So I've actually put in more hours, and that's been very tiring. Yes. Of course, the exact opposite of, well, similar, but opposite than you, Sandy. We, Lori and I both work from the house. We both have, offices at the studio, but we share our space. So having my incredible wife working right across from me has always been fantastic. And I'm not saying that because she's literally sitting across from me right now, folks.
Say hi. Hi, Lori.
You got a hello. Okay, wrap us up, Sandy.
Sure. Well, how about this? In lieu of our pro and tech tips, let's all talk for 30 seconds with a presentation design tip. That's one that we started using this year.
Set up and use a grid even when you don't think you need it. It's always been a bit time consuming to set up. And I admit sometimes because I'm lazy, I wouldn't always do it. But now with BrightSlide, which is free, the guide creation tool. So that's what I'm talking about, guides here. It will take you maybe 15 seconds to set up complete guides, and then you can tweak them anytime you want. So you have absolutely no excuse. Even if you think you don't need a grid, just set it up with BrightSlide. Don't always have to look at it. That's my tip for every presentation. Just create one.
Excellent.
Wait, you're on your Mac though, Nolan, right?
Yes. The grid tool, thank you for pointing out, is not available on the Mac. The guides tool, I should say, is not available on the Mac, only the PC. But that's what I do when I start a presentation. I go over to my PC, start it and come on back. And anytime I have to tweak it, go to my PC and come back. Just takes a couple seconds.
Okay. I thought you were going to actually announce it was available on the Mac, and that's going to get you really excited. But it is an awesome, awesome tool. Sandy, what's your 30-second presentation design tip?
Before that, doing that, I have to add to Nolan's, another way to do it is I have a structural, I don't know what to call it, a foundational template that I usually start with to create custom templates for clients, and that always has my guides on it. So that's another way that I make sure that every single presentation I use at least starts with guides. Okay, so my 30 seconds. I believe photo transparency came on this last year in PowerPoint, right? It's not much older than 2019.
I think it's a 2020 tool.
2020, gosh, sorry, 2020.
And on the Mac for ages, but yes, at PC. Okay.
So one thing I started doing differently to create duotone photography, rather than using the recolor tools for pictures in PowerPoint, I don't feel like I get the control that I want. I don't like how they contrast it. I use grayscale. I convert my photos to grayscale, and then they make them transparent over a color background versus putting a color transparent background over a photo. It's just a technique that I've been using. I love making the photos transparent, and then that color background comes through, and I seem to have a lot more control than using PowerPoint's color picture options.
That is really cool, because if you use theme colors for the color block below it, it would still follow the theme if you put it onto a different template.
That's right. I just have been a lot happier with it than using the color picture options. I don't even know what it's really called.
Do you bump the contrast up of your grayscale after you make it a little transparent?
I'll play with that if I need to. Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. That's pretty, pretty cool stuff.
How about you, Troy? 30 seconds.
I'm going to go with, this may be less than 30 seconds because it's so easy. Client co-authoring of a presentation is not a bad thing. 2020 is the year we've adopted Microsoft Teams and the shared presentation or co-authoring. So we've been doing this with large, large projects, small projects, inviting external clients into our team. It's been working really, really well, but I will give the caveat, we don't do it with templates. Templates are offline design.
You know what, Troy? I'm with you on that. My first real solid exposure was on Google Slides, and I absolutely hated it. Absolutely hated it. But for some reason, I feel like I have more control, and maybe I don't really. I'm just getting used to it. But co-authoring of a presentation
it's saving us time on projects because everything is a virtual environment. So people are trying to make changes, and obviously there's no handing it. It's a workflow that's working and it works really well. There are some caveats to it. Custom fonts being one of the biggest ones, how to open it in PowerPoint and keep it linked versus just opening it in Teams and seeing its kind of rudimentary interface. There are things to it, but it's definitely the biggest design tip I can give is that it's a viable solution now. And we're using it with very, very large corporate clients. We're using a very small individual. So it works the gamut. as the last podcast of 2020 for us, I would like to say thank you to both of you for all the great conversations we've had this year. So thank you, Sandy. Thank you, Nolan. It's been so fun.
Thank you, Troy.
Conversely, remember, next week we're recording our app January episode, so don't go far. Hey, for everybody listening, we hope 2020, with all the crazy things happening in the world this year, well, it hasn't affected you in a bad way. Thank you for sharing some time with us, being PowerPoint presentation geeks, because there's just not enough of us out there. And finding someone to get excited talking about a new cloud font option or amazing combination animation you figured out, or how to set up PowerPoint to span a 90-foot wide by 12-foot high LED wall is tough. And you're the people that we all get along together. Hey, enjoy the holidays, and we will talk with you throughout 2021. This is Troy from TLC Creative Services, a professional presentation design agency. We would love to hear from you if you have any presentation design needs, and enjoy the end of the year and the start of the new year.
This is Nolan from Nolan Hames Creative. Check out my blog, presentyourstory.com, where you can get lots of good goodies and downloads. And if you're interested in training, data visualization or presentation, give us a call.
Hey, listeners, thank you for a wonderful 2020. You made our year tolerable. We're looking forward to being with you in 2021. This is Sandy Johnson with Presentation Wiz. You can visit my website and blog at presentationwiz.biz, the Presentation Guild at presentationguild.org, and I'm also on LinkedIn as Sandra Johnson, PowerPoint MVP, and on Twitter as @PPTWiz.
Thank you for joining us for another great presentation conversation. Episode show notes are available at the Presentation Podcast website, www.thepresentationpodcast.com. Also through the website, contact the show host with episode suggestions, questions, or comments. We want other designers to join us, and you can help. Please leave a review on iTunes, Google Play, or Spotify. The Presentation Podcast is produced by TLC Creative Services, Inc., and new episodes release on the first and third Tuesday of each month.